Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Corinth in Your Car. I'm Josh, and Adam is here with me. We're missing Luke today. He's down with something. I don't know. A little 24-hour bug or something, maybe. So hopefully we'll have him back soon. But we love Luke, and we're missing him today. Adam, what are some of your favorite parts about Christmas season, Christmas Eve services here at Corinth? What are some of your favorite memories through the years?
Through the years at Corinth, golly, I don't know that I've got any memories because, you know, we're always moving so quickly. So maybe that's something to think about.
Yeah.
Is to try to slow down best we can. But as a kid, I remember going to First Baptist Church in Carthage and sitting in either the balcony or down on the lower level towards the back. And they actually had an overflow that they had to open up for Christmas Eve, huge thing in the town. And sitting there with my cousins on my dad's side and playing with candles and seeing how close you could get the wax to your finger, how close you could get your fingers to the flame.
Mm-hmm. Or do the finger through the flame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Seeing if, while singing Silent Night, Holy Night, if you could enunciate enough to blow the wick out so that
one.
You would be able to relight it. So remember that. And then, remember after that, heading over to Grandma and Grandpa Turner's house, where the, furnace and the two fireplaces, were all roaring and, just sweating to death as we sat there with, let me see, probably close to 50, I think it was 15 people in a room that is, smaller than this room. We're in one of our Sunday school classrooms. Mm-hmm. That's where we record. It was smaller than this room.
Yeah.
And, you know, got 15 people huddled around in a mass, just sweating, taking turns, opening gifts. And
there you go. So you didn't know if you had a fever or not. Everyone was just hot.
Yeah, exactly. And we didn't get sick back then.
That's right.
I mean, that's just what it was. We're just stronger stock. So they don't make us like they used to.
Yeah, I love like just thinking about what parents do and you know, you're good, go to school anyway or whatever. Like last weekend we were at a wedding and I believe it was Dominic had something on his, like around his mouth because he had drank something or ate something and there was a little spot. So Sasha did the whole mom thing, lick your thumb and wipe it off with that. Like I love those little parent tricks back in the day.
Oh yeah.
Didn't get sick. I love that.
Yeah. No, mom would, she would lick a Kleenex and then yeah.
That kind of gives me the, you know, heebie-jeebies or whatever.
I don't think she would spit in it. She would lick it.
I know, just the texture of that. You know how you don't like certain textures?
Oh, yeah.
Licking a Kleenex is definitely one.
And then she would use it like it was a Brillo pad. Just scrub everything off your face.
Well, so we do the candles here at Corinth as well.
We do.
And that was already going before you came back in 2005 or 6? Or do you know?
I don't know because, like, I could be off, but I feel like it was candlelight was like the first, I think one of the, how about this? One of the first times they'd done candlelight was, I think, my first year here.
Okay.
In 2005.
Okay.
So whether it was the very first time or if it hadn't been done for a little bit. I do remember in like 05, 06, that kind of starting.
Okay. Well, we've done it every year since then, right?
Yeah.
So, cool.
Yeah.
All right. And you...
And nothing's ever burned down.
Yeah. That's good.
Knock on wood.
And what do you enjoy most about the candles?
I think there's just... I love the way that... I love the way that Jeremy and our team, they kind of do it because, you know, there's so much of the... you know, singing that we do that is, it's got a lot of volume, it's got energy, and it's just fantastic. There is something special about it all just kind of calming down for just a second and being able to just to pause, to reflect, and to bask in the glow of, you know, several hundred people singing Silent Night together or Oh Come Let Us Adore Him, you know, those things.
Sure.
So.
We enjoy having our kids all together, and they're at the ages now where
they can actually hold a candle.
They can, yeah. Now we do have one of our children in particular trying to do the finger through the flame and
absolutely.
All that stuff too. So, and he is incredible.
You going to let your kids bring their own lighters?
Oh man. So we have a box of matches at home.
Okay.
Because when we do candlelit dinners or things like that, and it's so funny because lighting a match mm-hmm. is really difficult.
Can
for
be
a child.
Can be.
So sometimes it's about 20 strokes. Like, just get a new match.
Yeah, especially if they're those. Like, do you remember the old paper matches?
Oh yeah,
they came in the little booklet. Yeah, super flexible.
We don't have any of those.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Tell you what, the candle store Rekindle in Monroe.
Uh-huh.
I just realized that the other day we had an old box of matches sitting around from them. Their matches strike really easily.
Yeah.
Like you barely have to touch it and, strike it.
I like the strike anywhere. Are they the strike anywheres?
They're not.
Okay. I like those. Those are fun.
I know. They are fun.
Because, like, whenever, kid, you'd, learn how to, light those with, your thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Flick it really hard and get it going. I don't even know. Do they make those anymore?
I haven't seen any in a while, but that doesn't mean anything.
No.
I don't see a lot of stuff. So.
Yeah. I don't either. I'm not buying a whole lot of matches.
Well, when you do, they last forever, too. Like, we bought a box of matches that has, hundreds in it, and it was $1
mm-hmm.
at Walmart.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, just the Bic lighters are just...
Yeah.
Those are just too easy.
Yeah.
We're spoiled.
We are. Christmas series, Christmas wish list.
Mm-hmm.
We've been there for 3 weeks. This will be the fourth.
Yeah, I guess.
Christmas Eve, and it looked different this week. So... I guess inside baseball again, just talk to us a little bit how Christmas Eve or in years past Christmas Day, sermons, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
How is that different than a normal Sunday morning rhythm?
Well, I only get a third of the time. And so that's probably the biggest, a third to half the time. So instead of mm-hmm. 30 minutes on my clock, I think I've got, 12 or something like that. And so it's trying to, it's just trying to get to the point as quickly as you can and to a point there. And I sent out my notes yesterday.
Yeah.
So I had 3 points and I told everybody in the email, it's like, hey, if I had my full time, here's the whole message that, that I would do.
Yeah. And I like how you set it up. I'm just looking at it here. It says, Jesus Christ's arrival ushers in pieces. So P-E-A-C-E-S, like multiple pieces. And so for Christmas Eve, you're really just focused on peace with God, right?
Yes. Yeah. 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 Because there are three. So it's,
let's talk about
there's, there's probably more than three, but, peace with God, the peace of God, and then peace with others.
Yeah.
And if I had more time and if it wasn't a Christmas Eve service, I probably would have leaned really hard into the peace with others.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that is such a huge struggle for a lot of our people. And for people in general, is just learning how we can live at peace with other people, and that there's this massive confusion that takes place because we forget the difference between forgiveness and trust,
mm-hmm.
Reconciliation and resolution. In fact, reconciliation is, I love the way, I think it was Rick Warren that said it, and I don't know if it's original with him, probably not, but is reconciliation is burying the hatchet, but not the issues, because reconciliation is where we're dealing with the issues. So we're still, where we're going to work on the issues.
Uh-huh.
But reconciliation is saying, I'm not going to be bitter about this. I'm not going to allow that to grow up in my heart. We're still going to have to work through the issues of trust and all those other kind of things. So that's probably where I would have spent more time on a Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
a typical Sunday morning.
Yeah.
But with it being Christmas Eve and trying to just lean into the idea of here's why Christmas matters so much, is we have peace with God. All of us, we've strayed away. All of us, we've left God's path to follow our own, as Isaiah says.
Mm-hmm.
But God laid on him, laid on Jesus, the sins mm-hmm. of us all. And so just tried to really just dive into that idea in the short amount of time that we had.
Yeah, it's great to focus in because we will have most of our regular people, I would guess, just being how Christmas Eve falls this year and such like that. But a lot of people that maybe it's their first time or right. it's the first time in a long time.
Correct.
I know I've invited my neighbors, mm-hmm. and one of them, they said, hey, I might have to make an appearance. I haven't been in church in 11 years.
Right.
I thought it was really cool how, you know, they just put a time to it and right. said.
That's a very specific time, too.
It is. And so, you know, just prayerful and hopeful that they'll right. show up.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and so really just wanting to make sure that that message is communicated.
Yeah, for a person like that.
Yes.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yes.
For a person like that that maybe isn't here week in and week out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, for a family that hasn't been in church forever, for you know, our ones, mm-hmm. you know, that need that haven't been in church or maybe haven't heard the gospel message in a while. You know, just using that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. So Christmas Eve. What are you excited about this year? When you think about just our service, Christmas Eve in general, having family, and what are some things that excite you?
Things that excite me. The Christmas Eve service, I'm actually looking forward to the finale, you know, in our auditorium services.
The merry mashup.
But Jeremy and Scott Shiflett, one of our guitar players, they actually wrote the song.
I didn't know they wrote that. So there's like 25 different songs, right?
I don't know.
I think it's about 25.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. They arranged it and put that together. So it's an Corinth OG.
All right, original.
It is an original, and so I haven't heard it yet.
I haven't either. Yeah.
And so
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to just time with the kids. Jaden's birthday is tomorrow. She'll be on the 22nd. She'll be 20 years old. So
I thought about that today.
I no longer have teenagers in my life.
Yep.
And so that's just kind of fun. And so just being able to hang out with them, with their boyfriend, with their girlfriends, mm-hmm. Girlfriend, not plural. You know, just being able
meaning
to
AJ's girlfriend.
Yes, AJ's girlfriend. Jaden's boyfriend. Yep. Just being able to hang out with them and so looking forward to that, and it'll be a good time. You're jumping on Delta Southwest.
Delta on Christmas Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I looked at all of them, of course, just to price mm-hmm. compare, but it really wasn't cheaper to do Southwest.
No.
I mean, it's crazy. Crazy how that happens.
Well, and you know that Delta's actually going to leave on time.
On time. And you have an assigned seat. And you get the entertainment system, which we're hopeful will play NFL football because there's going to be games that day as
yes,
we fly.
Yes, you should be able to do that. I don't know what channel that's on.
Well, they're all different channels.
Yeah, I don't know what...
But the Chiefs play, I think, CBS, perhaps.
Is that who they're... yeah, so...
I think they're playing CBS, and then we'll be in town in Arizona by the time the 49ers play that day, too, so we'll watch
it. They've got the Monday night game.
Yeah, it's going to be good. The Ravens.
Ravens-Niners. So
it's a big one.
Yeah, you should be able to. I can't remember where I was
flying. I've watched it in the past.
Yeah, I've watched a game
live
on...
TV, yeah,
as well, so...
So
hopefully.
So Southwest, I don't know that you could do that, but anyway.
No, you'd have to jump on their Wi-Fi and use
correct.
Your
and you, and,
yeah. Yeah, use your things. And the other great thing, too, because I just recently flew on Delta, is they have free Wi-Fi now.
Mm-hmm.
And so for everybody. And
okay,
so you can jump on that. Just got to plug in your SkyMiles number.
Yep. Delta's great.
Yep, Delta's go Delta. Great. Go Delta. We
so,
got...
Yeah, we're leaving on Christmas Day. And we've done that once before. Mm-hmm. And it was fun, actually. They did a good job of making it just a good experience for everybody, knowing that, hey, this is like one of the big holidays.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And not people don't really want to do that, but
right.
it's kind of the necessity. And so here we are. Let's be happy.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So, yeah, we're excited about that. We'll see the Arizona family, cousins, grandma, grandpa. And my grandma is actually going to be there for the latter part of it. So I'll see her
nice.
As well. So. Yeah, it'll be cool. So we hope that you all were with us on Christmas Eve. The peace of God is available for everybody. And we invited people, of course, to enjoy that, to mm-hmm. remember it, to let that give us courage as we live. Anything else on just the message on what you want our people to hear again? Maybe a big reminder.
I would just I just find it intriguing. You know, Ecclesiastes 3, I think it's 11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the God has set eternity in the hearts of of man,
mm-hmm.
Or he has planted eternity in the human heart. Is maybe the right way to put it. And even Acts 17, you know, that he's calling out to us, hoping that men will search for him and find him.
Perhaps find him, yeah.
Is just thinking through all of these stinking Christmas movies and the shows and these things. There is this like heartbeat of longing in all of these stories, mm-hmm. every single one of them. And it doesn't matter. Now, I mean, maybe Violent Night doesn't have that in there. I don't know. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Christmas movies that we think about, that we love, and there's just something about this season. And so I think my heart would be this, or my hope would be, is don't get caught up in nostalgia for nostalgia's sake, but allow the longing that is there this time of year to draw you closer to Christ, to the coming of Jesus, and allow that to be the thing that motivates your 2024 as you move forward. Because I think I said it in the message, you know, something like
the 26th.
Yeah, the 26th. I mean, Santa doesn't solve squat.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I remember one Christmas we'd bought one of the kids a gift, and literally by the end of that day, it was broken. And, you know, and it was devastating to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like there is that just reality that Santa doesn't solve anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so allow the longing to draw you closer to Christ and to find fulfillment in him and not in all those other things. And to find our fulfillment in the fact that we do have peace with God, that we do have the peace of God that now lives inside of us. And that we can live at peace with others now.
I thought that was a great observation you brought out, just all the movies, they do point towards reconciliation and peace, mm-hmm. and just the fancy word of like shalom, like all is well. And when you think about it, you really do see, whether it's Elf, you want Christmas to be saved and things to be right. And Buddy to find his dad, you know, all that stuff. And
Ernest Saves Christmas.
That's one you didn't reference.
It is not, no.
Yeah. Oh, man, I haven't heard Ernest referenced in a long time.
Yeah.
Those movies.
There's way too many of them.
But yeah, they all, I believe several like authors, commentators would phrase it this way and just say that these are signposts.
Yes.
And they point us towards the bigger truth.
Yeah.
And so, let the season be a signpost to the truth.
Yeah. And that's that longing. That's that eternity that he's put, that God has put in our heart. And so, I don't know that we know how to fully articulate it until we become a follower of Christ,
mm-hmm.
because it's just like there's this thing that's inside of us that we're longing for, that we want, we desire. It's like, where does this come from? And that's why, you know, if you haven't read Acts 17 in a little while, you know, go and read Paul's sermon there,
mm-hmm.
and how he is just like calling out. He's like, hey, you're worshiping this unknown God, this God that you have no clue about. Well, let me tell you about him. Mm-hmm. He's the one who, in him, we live and move and have our being. He's the one who has done all of this stuff because he hopes that we are going to search for him.
Yeah.
Though he's not far from any of us.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be probably just the big reminder, I think.
Yeah. And I love that. So as you listen to this, it's after the Christmas Eve service. Maybe it's Christmas Day. Maybe it's the day after. I don't know when this is
coming out. Yeah, I don't know when this is coming out. Yeah.
But when it comes out, we know it's after Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And we know we're in that week between kind of Christmas and New Year's.
And you're in the reality that Santa doesn't solve squat. There you go.
Correct. And so like I said last week, it's psychologists have actually named it the Christmas blues.
Mm-hmm.
And so every year it comes around. We hope in horizontal things. Yep. And then what we realize is we need the vertical hope, and then which leads us to peace. And so that is a good transition to maybe think about next week. The sermon that Luke will preach is all about just the power of reflection.
Yeah.
And so he
does a great job.
Yeah. What are a few thoughts about how that can set you up for success? Let's marry these two ideas. All right. Yeah. Is what I'm getting at. So the peace of God and then reflection, how do those things work together to set you up for success 2024?
So I think that as we reflect, one of the key components of that can be, okay, so I'm coming through this Christmas season to where it's this season of hope, this season of love, season of joy, season of peace. And as I look back on that, I can see that there is something ahead. And so that there are tasks that I've been called to. There are relationships that I need to invest in. And so the reflection is not so that we spend all of our time looking at the rearview mirror, mm-hmm. but it is what has happened is what spurs us to move forward. I think it's Ecclesiastes as well that says, do not say this is Adam's paraphrase. Do not say, I just long for the good old days, mm-hmm. for the days of past. Mm-hmm. There's something dangerous about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is not to say that reflection is bad. What it is saying is that whenever we mm-hmm. put all of our energy in just thinking about how things used to be,
mm-hmm.
there's a danger in there.
It's the Uncle Rico.
Yeah, it's the Uncle Rico. Yeah, back in 82,
yep.
And so there is always a future orientation towards that. And so as we look at 24, one of the things I'm excited about is yeah. just as we've spent some time thinking through the, preaching calendar and those things, really just trying to help people move forward in things, whether that's by setting some new habits, and we're going to start the year off just being hyper practical,
uh-huh.
like super pragmatic, just like here's how habits are formed and here's how we're able to see change take place in our lives. I know you know this, but listeners may not. You can't really, what's the right way to say this? You don't ever really stop a bad habit.
Hmm.
You replace it.
Yeah, sure.
You have to replace it with something good. And so just talking about how we can do that, we're going to spend time just focusing in on the relationships, the encounters that Jesus had, and just looking at those, just some being able to just pull out some of those great ones there. I already picked my three. You two don't get those.
That's
but
right.
Then even after Easter, we're going to be future oriented, and we're going to be asking the question. So are we, is this the end of the world? Are we living, is it yeah. the end of the world as we know
yeah.
it? And so just excited about, kind of where I feel like where God's kind of been leading us as we've been planning and thinking and mm-hmm. praying about what to share. Just looking, I think we're spending time in Ecclesiastes.
We are. That's the plan, at least.
Yeah, right. Which is called Living Life Backwards, which is hilarious. As we talk about reflection and those things of just saying, yeah, we look backwards, but it moves us forward. So,
And I haven't gotten fully into where the series is going, but I see it at least two different ways of living backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I see living backwards as backwards from the way the world does it.
Yep.
But I also see it as backward planning.
Yes.
So starting at your death.
Yes.
And realizing, like, what kind of person do I want to be then?
Yes.
So what do I do now?
Correct.
Leading up to that.
So. Yeah. So it is a future orientation that is allowing us to live life backwards.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm excited for 2024. It's going to be a good year. Excited for Corinth and where we're headed, and thankful for all of you. Today is a little bit shorter, just as we don't have Luke with us, but we also...
It's always going to be shorter when Luke's not here.
Yeah, we didn't have a full 30 minutes to recap and things like that. And
didn't have a 6'5 guy sitting next to us. We got two 5'10 guys.
That's right. Ooh, I'm not.
Are you 5'10?
No, I'm... If I wore some, like, platform shoes, I'm about 5'8 and a half.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Okay. And my basketball days, I was always listed at 5'11. I don't know how close I am to 5'11.
Okay.
There was one year that is my freshman year. Coach Williams listed me. This is in college. He listed me as 6 foot.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, no, I'm not 6 foot. And so every time I caught the ball, we were playing. Was it Baptist Bible in Springfield? Is that the name of it?
Something like
Bible,
that.
I can't remember. My parents always said it wrong, so I don't even know what it is now.
Springfield Baptist?
It wasn't, but it was in Springfield. Okay. But it was like Baptist Bible or Bible Baptist.
Okay.
I think it was Baptist
remember.
Bible. Anyway, they're a bunch of punks. And
I do remember playing them, and they were a bunch of punks even in soccer.
I don't even know if they were Christians. But anyway, Every time I caught the ball, the fans started chanting 6 foot. Every single time. So they knew it was a lie.
Did it even get in your head, though?
Oh, no, because I knew it was a lie, you know, and so it was hilarious. I think in college, every year I got shorter. So I think my freshman year, coach listed me at 6 foot. I think in my sophomore year, he listed me at 5'11". And I think my junior and senior year, I was 5'10". So
there you go.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't played soccer on the field in a really long time. And in life, I'm a pretty nice person.
Mm-hmm.
But on the field, I like to pester people to get in their heads.
Right.
And that's how you play the game. So,
it is.
So I remember kind of like the crowd was doing to you about six foot. There was a guy I played against in college who could not use his left foot.
Okay.
And so whenever I was guarding him, every time he touched the ball with his right foot, I would just yell out, right, 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 just to highlight the fact, even if he was turning left or right or whatever he's doing, it was only his right foot. So
right.
I was just trying to tell my team, like, listen, he can't use his left foot.
So correct.
He's pretty easy to defend.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. No, I was an assistant. I think your buddy Marcus was playing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was an assistant coach at Ozark mm-hmm. at this point. And we were playing in Springfield. It was a different college in Springfield. A lot of Bible colleges in Springfield.
Yeah.
And there was this guy on the other team who, every time he dribbled, he was carrying the ball.
Mm.
I mean, like...
Like hardcore, huh?
Hardcore, wow. You know? And so he was dribbling in front of us, and there was a referee right there as well. And the referee's just standing there staring at this guy. And so every time he dribbled, I went, carry, carry,
carry,
carry. Carry. And finally the referee turned, and that's, I think I've only gotten one technical in my playing career
okay.
and coaching career. But I got a very stern warning, very stern warning. And it was just like, but bro, he's doing it like right in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Just watch.
Yeah.
Just watch him. So, all right. Well, we could reminisce about the past and sports. That's fun all day long, but we hope that this week in between Christmas and New Year's is good for you and your family, and you're making the most of your time there. We don't want to take any more of your time. We will be spending time with our family. So next week, we're out, which means no Corinth in your car till 2024.
That's right.
And
see you next year.
See you next year. I believe we made the same joke last year. See you next year.
You've got to make that joke.
You got to make the joke.
You got to.
Hey, by the way, as long as we're on dad jokes, I've been sharing this one recently. Do you know what you call a bicycle made out of paper?
I do not know.
Stationary bike.
Nice.
Yeah, so there you go. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody out there. We'll be back in January. And like Adam said, it's a series just called Habits. So something like the tagline is something like small change, big results, or something like that, right?
Is it that, or is it disciplined? I got to pull my note.
It's, yeah. Do something small and get...
Yeah, small disciplines, big results.
There it is. So habits, small disciplines, big results. We want to start out the year right. You're already thinking that way anyway.
Yeah.
New Year's resolutions and such. So we want to just help you think. And not just practically, but spiritually, how can we make the best use of the time and our bodies and our families that God has given to us for His glory and for our good. Until then, we love you and we like you. And we can't wait to see you next year.